seriously want.
Boom!
The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels, was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
I want to define the logic of all sex laws. Let the handcuffs slip off your wrist. I'll let you be my chaperone at the halfway home. I'm a full-grown man, but I'm not afraid to cry.
What is this crap?
Oh, it's Beck. It's not crap. I'm not a huge Beck fan, but I thought this was a really cool video, and I love this song. It's called Sex Laws, which is very apropos for our next conversation, I personally think.
Now, I thought when I heard Justin B. Love say Beck that it was going to be, you know, Eric Clapton, Jeff Beck, you know, great guitar players riffing away.
No, it would be Beck, the little short guy.
You mean the little runt?
The little
shrimp.
Well, no, I mean, it's not a run.
Pick me.
I mean, I don't know how tall he is, but he looks slight to me, but still, he was kind of like a hipster before hipsters were hipsters.
Yeah, I know. It's a horrible song.
That's not a horrible song. Why would you say it's horrible?
As well, Hyatt Tower, Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided by NJDiet.com. I would much prefer to have heard coming back here, since we're able to broadcast to everybody through the 50,000 powerful watts of sound, a song. I don't know if it would have made top 40 when WABC used to spin stacks of wax, but
what in the hell is this?
Jeff Beck,
oh.
Blow by Blow, 1975. I think that was before you were born.
I wish. I mean, yeah, you're right.
Much better than that crap you picked.
Well, it's a different style of music. No, this is good. This is fine.
Okay.
It's,
all right.
I thought it was like the beginning to, what was that show, Sanford and Son? For a second.
Oh, my
God. It sounded like for
oh
a minute.
God.
Didn't it?
He's coming for me. Red Fox, right.
I love
Sanford
that show. It was a great show.
But anyway, we have been confronted now again and again and again, particularly in the last few days of a news cycle, about non-disclosure agreements.
I know them well.
Yes, you do. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I want you to explain it, because as we have discussed, this porno princess, what's her name? Stormy?
Stormy. Stormy, some, I don't know, Stormy whatever.
Stormy Daniels, I believe her name is.
That's, of course it is.
Who claims that she had a year-long affair with then-citizen Donald Trump after he had married Melania and she was pregnant with his youngest son. Apparently, she was prepared to publicly acknowledge that right before the general election. So a month before the
How
November
convenient
election.
Convenient of her.
She was talking with Slate magazine. She mm-hmm. had given them major details of it. And she was prepared to have a sit-down with Good Morning America and reveal the details. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, if you believe the Wall Street Journal, I don't know if you would quantify them as fake news since they've been very pro-Donald Trump. In a release story over the weekend, it said that the president's private attorney, Michael Cohen, mm-hmm. immediately got to the business of sitting down with Stormy and her legal advisors and arranged for a non-disclosure agreement. In return for that, she would receive $130,000, and she would say nothing till the ends of time, nothing about what she was alleging. And so then when Slate tried to reconnect with her to finish the piece,
right.
she was
She's
missing
like,
in
nope.
action. Good Morning America, again, trying to find her and other media outlets, had just disappeared off of the face of the earth. And it also comes in tandem to what we see transpiring in that courtroom in Michigan, where I would hope that people would show up with pitchforks and torches
oh, God, yeah.
and grab the former U.S. Olympic gymnast trainer Nasser and take him out and just hang him from a tree.
He molested like 100 women, girls.
So they're in the midst of a victim impact statement that over 100 women are giving.
He's hysterical over it. He's like, it's mentally upsetting me. It's like, oh, man.
Meantime, a brother of one of those actually screamed out at him, hey, look at my sister when she's talking. You violated her. Look at her in the eyes. You blankety blank, blank, blank. So the victim impact statements continue. But what was very disturbing is that there had been a non-disclosure agreement that was made between the U.S. Gymnastics Committee.
Mm-hmm.
Michaela
Maroney.
Michaela Maroney, who I'm not familiar with as a gymnast, but they basically paid her hush money so she would shut up and not drop dime on Larry Nassar. She broke this non-disclosure agreement against what I think everyone could now agree is public enemy number one, even worse than Harvey Weinstein. Because he was violating women who were teenagers at the time.
Well, let's look. First of all, we don't have to compare. I mean, the fact is they're both despicable people.
I know, but he's admitted.
They're going to hell.
Nassar has admitted he's done it. The judges said you'll never see the light of day. The victims continue to show up and give their victim impact statements. But the U.S. Gymnastic Committee was actually going to hold this young lady to her non-disclosure agreement. They were going to fine her. And then they realized the tremendous blowback they were getting and rescinded that. But they
thank God.
Their lawyers were going to come after her for $100,000.
The only reason that they were going to do that is because they have obviously no scruples. And they realized that the public outcry would be so horrific for them that they had no other choice than to say, okay, forget it. Well, you know, we won't come after her.
Right, but this opens up the whole discussion of these non-disclosure arrangements. We saw it with Congressman Conyers before he exited in that hospital room and decided retirement was for me. He had a non-disclosure arrangement with his former chief of staff.
That I believe we paid for as taxpayers.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
And she broke it. Remember, she broke it on the Today Show.
Yes.
She came out and said, I'm breaking it. He chose to do nothing. His lawyers chose to do nothing. We see the non-disclosure arrangement, if you believe that there is one, between the president and Stormy. There were non-disclosure arrangements between Bill O'Reilly of the Fox News channel, naturally the channel itself, with a number of women, including yourself. And there are other non-disclosure arrangements out there, both in the private sector and within government.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people want to know, what is it about a non-disclosure arrangement that so frightens these women that in this climate where you would be crazy to challenge it if a woman broke it or a child broke it or whoever it was that you had the non-disclosure arrangement with at the time, what is it about that non-disclosure arrangement, just from the legal aspect, Juliet Huddy, that paralyzes women from coming forward and saying, I'm going to let the world know what's going on.
Two things. Let me preface this initially by saying that I am not referring specifically to my situation, or am I? Two things I think that most women who have signed non-disclosure agreements under these circumstances would say puts them off from going public, even in a climate like this.
Yes.
Let's say I signed a non-disclosure agreement, and in my agreement it says, if Juliet goes out there and she talks about let's say Bill O'Reilly and give specifics as to what went down with her situation with him. Every time she says anything, every time she goes to the Today Show or Curtis Lee Wood's show, she will be fined, let's say $500,000.
So it's a fine.
It's a fine for every single time. So let's just say I decided to say right now, you know, something about my experience with a certain person over at a certain place. They could come after me potentially for $500,000 based on what I said. Now, I don't have a full-time job. I mean, thank God I'm here a couple days a week and I love it. And I love the bosses here. I love you for having me. I think you guys are wonderful. But you know, I don't have money coming in, and I haven't. And people say, oh, you know, you signed a set. Yeah. Great settlement, huge settlement. No, most of that money went to lawyers and went to taxes. So I'm living on borrowed time as far as cash flow goes.
What would happen, Juliet, if let's say in the course of a private conversation you had with friends, you were at a restaurant, a bar, and they were making inquiries about what is this? And you gave out some of the details and somebody posted it on their Facebook. would you be as culpable in having to pay fines if your adversaries learned about it?
Yeah, probably, yes. I mean, but the thing is that my situation, I had talked about it many, many times with many, many people prior to actually signing that agreement. So there are a lot of people who know the real story, you know, that has not been reported,
as
by
an
the
example. The president has said he will sue Bannon for defamation. It has nothing to do with any kind of sex acts or harassment. But the president said, Bannon, I'm suing you for defamation. The president is famous for this. You stand up to him, he's going to file a lawsuit against you, and he always backs down because he's not going to sit through a deposition. Are you crazy?
Because then he has to offer himself up. Oh, he can't perjure himself,
dead.
And he has to tell the truth.
Dead.
That's why a lot of people won't go through with the... Yeah.
So in this particular case with the non-disclosure arrangements, who is it that basically comes after you? Is it just the lawyers that are sicked on you? Or did they garnish your wage? Do they go after your bank accounts? Is it like you sign this and they're entitled to the money because you knew what you were signing and the fine is going to be paid?
Yes. Typically, you go to arbitration before it gets to that point where you have an independent guy sitting there saying, okay, what happened on this person's end and what happened on that person's end? I think that's at least the way it is for my situation, but. I don't know if that's the way it is for other situations. It certainly is for mine. But, you know, ultimately, yeah, if I break the non-disclosure by speaking about, let's say, Bill O'Reilly, I could be potentially, sued for $500,000 each time I did that. And I certainly don't have that money. Now, you know, the same thing goes from his end, too. And that's actually what's happening with him right now. Rebecca Gomez and a couple other women have joined together. These are people who had accused him and have settlements, non-disclosure agreements. They're now going after them because they said he has been spouting off about the things that he shouldn't have been spouting off about.
So it is a two-way street.
Yeah.
And thirdly, the thing we don't oftentimes discuss is, I'm sure there are women out there in this case who never want the information to see the light of day, or would much prefer that it is a private matter. It was dealt with. Yes, they signed the non-disclosure. Yes, they were paid
Curtis,
a fee.
Curtis, think about it. If you're a woman who's been raped, you may just want to move on with your life. You may just be like, this, you know, if you start talking about it, it's going to create absolute pandemonium, and your entire world is now going to be opened up, and you have, and it's once again, it's like you're living through it again. I can completely understand that, believe me. Another reason that women or people don't want to break non-disclosure agreements sometimes is that same reason that they signed the non-disclosure agreements in the first place, because they're so fearful, they're terrified of, as I like to call it, the machine of these corporations and these big, you know, these powerful players and these powerful executives and the lawyers and the PR people coming after them and destroying them, you know, personally and, you know, with their reputation, harassing them, and sort of ginning up a fury among followers of, you know, these companies.
So is it your opinion that they should continue to at least have this available, a non-disclosure agreement, for those who have been victimized who never want the details to see the light of day?
I would say, yeah, yes.
All right, let's think so.
And
let's open up our phone lines to all of you out there. We hear these non-disclosure, non-disclosure, non-disclosure. Juliet Huddy has explained it, I think, very appropriately as to why you might want to break it, why you might want to keep it the way it is in perpetuity. And, wow, imagine in this case a potential fine of $10,000, $100,000 by the U.S. Gymnastics Committee. They obviously reneged on that, $500,000, just for mentioning any of the details. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Rich, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Richie, Rich.
Guys, something I'm a little confused about. Maybe you could elaborate on this, Juliet. Larry Nassar is accused of a felony. He's accused of raping these young girls. This is child rape, according to the way I've been reading this. How could he possibly enforce a non-disclosure agreement on something that's an obvious felony?
I don't think it's he. I don't think he would be enforcing it. Would be the agreement might have been with the Olympic
the USA
Committee.
USA Gymnastics
yeah,
Committee.
The, yeah. So it's technically it's them. And if, you know, yes, he committed this horrific series of crimes, you know, series is an understatement, but it's with the corporation. My situation, for instance, I'm sitting here going, well, wait a second. After I signed my non-disclosure agreement in September of 2016, Bill O'Reilly was then accused by somebody else. Then he was re-signed and he was continuing on to do all this stuff. He was given, you know, scores of millions of dollars by Fox News. So why was that okay? Is that something that I can use to sort of get out of this non-disclosure agreement completely?
Hmm. Yeah. Well, and then another question before you let me go, with Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a public figure. Now, if he had a non-disclosure agreement, how enforceable is that? He's supposed to be an open book, according to he's supposed to be basically in a fish tank. I don't understand this at all.
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I think a non-disclosure agreement, it's a legal contract, and it's, you know, just because he's a public figure doesn't mean so is Bill O'Reilly, so is, you know,
well, it's interesting,
Matt Lauer. And
because in the case of Larry Nassar, the most despised human being in the world right now, Michigan State, where he operated, they claimed they knew nothing. The USA Gymnastics Committee, they said they knew nothing. How could you not have known something if there are upwards of 140 victims over many, many years and many separate 4-year interval Olympic competitions? 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC.
February brings us the Winter Olympics from South Korea, where apparently the evil seat of Kim Jong, mentally ill behind the kimchi curtain of North Korea, has agreed that two of his athletes will participate in the opening ceremony with the South Korean athletes.
Something seems not right about this. I'm sorry. I don't know.
They will have a generic flag, something that they are obviously composing right now. And apparently there will be festivities galore involving North Koreans in this event. So I think it's safe to say he won't be firing off any nukes during the the Winter Olympic Games.
He's a psycho. I honestly, I'm fearful of this. Am I the only one who feels this way, that something just doesn't seem right about this?
You mean him accommodating, wearing
yes.
a suit, no longer the military garb, the Mao garb?
Yes, I don't know. He's just not, something's not right here.
So for you, it's the calm before the storm.
I feel as though it is. But and I'm not a conspiracy theorist typically, but something's just off.
Well, you know,
this
it's
whole
interesting.
Thing.
He'll have two athletes who will be participating mm-hmm. as part of the overall, quote, Korean team.
Right.
He's going to have performers. Naturally, they'll be down there with their North Korean minders.
Mm-hmm.
But we've seen what's happened to other former communist countries when they would send athletes to participate in international or even regional competition. A lot of their athletes go over the fence and seek asylum.
Yeah, they're like, we're out of here, bye.
So it'll be interesting to see how many North Koreans, even though their minders are going to be over every square inch, will go over the fence and seek asylum in South Korea, and whether they will accept them for asylum or some kind of deal has been made with Kim Jong, mentally ill, that there'll be none of that.
It just makes me so worried that he's just planning on making a spectacle of hell by luring everybody in, you know, the world's eyes, watching this wonderful moment, you know, the North Koreans and South Koreans coming together, and he's just going to use it because he's that much of a lunatic.
Well, let's find out from our many listeners. Do you have the same concerns as Juliet Huddy, who's in the house today and tomorrow here on WABC? 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Now, this is the big event for NBC, the nincompoop broadcasting company. They're already promoting it ad nauseum.
Big news coming out, too.
They've got all their news readers who are preparing to head over there. Minus one, your friend, who you've made now multiple appearances on her show on NBC
two.
In the morning, Megyn Kelly, who has been X'd out. And instead, It's America's sweetheart, America's pixie, although she's aging a bit.
Oh, stop. Oh, come on, Curtis.
A little long in the tooth.
Why are you... That is such a,
well,
a,
to be
an obnoxious thing to say.
You can't be America's sweetheart when you're in your 60s.
Oh, yes, she can. She still looks like a little, you know, cutesy cabbage patch.
Yeah, well, she's had a few procedures done.
She looks great, Curtis. Stop.
But she is going to be leading the coverage for the opening ceremonies.
This is like a legacy thing, you know? You bring in your legacy here. It is a bit strange that Meghan is not going to be part of this. But I don't know that I believe that this is some slap in the face to Meghan. She's going to be participating in the State of the Union next week.
Yeah, but wait a second. Hold on. Katie Couric just came out in People magazine after buying Wolf tickets on the whole Matt Lauer pervert and sexual assaulter and harasser story, and gave him a clean bill of health as far as she was concerned. Even though, remember, Katie Couric was hinting to us a while back that Matt Lauer was a tuchus grabber.
You co-hosted the Today Show with Matt Lauer for 15 years. What is Matt's most annoying habit?
He pinches me on the ass a lot.
Pinches her on the ass.
Now, that was Bravo, I take it.
No, I understand. But the point being is, so wait a second, is she being rewarded by NBC because she didn't bring up the Matt Lauer situation and throw gasoline on the fire? And then the other day we saw Matt Lauer's former partner that he hated, he loathed, he despised, and he drove out of her anchor chair. And Curry say, oh, no, 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 no. Beyond Matt Lauer, who is a perv, there was a climate of verbal harassment at NBC.
Because you're asking me a very direct question, mm-hmm. I can say that I would be surprised if many women did not understand that there was a climate of verbal harassment that existed. I think it would be surprising if someone said that they didn't see that. Mm-hmm. So... It was verbal sexual.
All right, let me stick with the, sorry.
I just don't. She just said verbal sexual harassment was pervasive.
Yeah.
At NBC at the time when you were there.
You know, I don't want to cause more pain. But no, I'm. You were asking me a very direct question. I'm an honest person. I want to tell you that it was. Yes. Period.
And then Hoda. I guess she was one of those who had window shades on her eyes, cotton balls in her ears, because she didn't see nothing.
It's hard to reconcile what we are hearing with the man who we know who walks in this building every single day.
Now, how could it be that Ann Curry picked up on it almost right away? Hoda knew nothing. Katie Curry knew nothing like Sergeant Schultz.
Well, but can I just say something? That oftentimes it's the lower levels, the lower level staff members that are being targeted by these guys. And so the whispers will be happening, you know, throughout the newsroom, but not necessarily getting right up to the people that see him every day. I mean, if you're the producer or the PA that decides they're going to tell Hoda Kotb that Matt Lauer is a pervert, you know, you're probably drawing enemy lines there. So it's possible. I mean, I don't know that it's likely, but, you know.
Well, what Hoda's saying, that was job security. What Katie Couric said to People magazine ensured that all of a sudden America's sweetheart, America's pixie, would be resurrected by NBC to be the lead anchor for the opening ceremonies in Seoul, Korea. I mean, that's a guarantee. Whereas Megyn Kelly, who's not playing ball to that degree because she is inviting on guests who keep bringing up the issue of sexual harassment,
well,
which makes you think, Matt Lauer.
She's had her best week ever, by the way, this last week, ratings-wise.
And to her credit.
Yes.
And she wanted to bring the woman on who claimed that the
Pat
parent
Sadler.
Company of NBC wasn't
Comcast.
Paying fair square wages compared to men on the E! Channel.
Yeah, Kat Sadler.
And apparently that really pissed off the suits.
So is this retaliation for that? Who knows? I mean, you don't know what's going on there. But again, she it's not like they're hiding Megyn Kelly. I mean, she certainly
of
has.
Of course it's retaliation. Let's go to Eddie in Greenpoint. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Eddie.
Yeah, you're wrong. No North Korean is going to defect to the South. And the reason being is Kim probably has guards and everything else around their family in the North.
Mm-hmm.
If one of them says goodbye, it's going to be a 22 behind the ear to how many of them.
Yep, absolutely. Totally agree.
Do you think, like me, he's setting up
The perfect situation to make a spectacle?
Yeah, he's going to do something stupid because that's what he's known for.
I know, I agree.
Guess what? He's going to just dig himself, you know, if you're smart and you're in a hole, you stop digging. This guy's not smart. He's just going to keep digging. He's done it, and his family has done it for how many years now? 70 almost? It's going to keep on going until someone takes care of him the way he would take care of
No, but we've seen the recent footage of the soldier who bolted across the DMZ, got shot up. Obviously, he must have had a family behind. We've seen others who have sought sanctuary in South Korea. Uh-huh. So I don't know. I realize he's more draconian
The whole thing, Curtis, is we don't have any media in there to tell us what happened to his family.
I know, but I know he's far more draconian in retaliation than the bearded one, Fidel Castro, ever was behind the sugarcane curtain of Cuba and other communist countries. But I don't know. I think somebody's going to bolt. I think somebody's going over the fence and is going to seek asylum. Let's hope the South Koreans, as per this agreement with him, will not put them in an asylum, a crazy farm. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Lauren calling from Manhattan. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here on WABC. Lauren?
Hey, Curtis, longtime fan and buddy of your sister, but I'll leave that alone. I just want to know, what is your definition of a perv?
Well, perv for me is a very broad definition of a perv. It's a guy who makes unwanted advances on you, particularly when you've clearly given him, in this case, if it's a man and a woman, or it could be a man and a man, it could be a man on underaged young adults. When you've told them no, and then he continues, you know, his hands are all over the place like an octopus.
Why did you call Jim Jensen a perv?
Well, Jim Jensen was a perv. Come on, man. Let's face it.
Who's Jim Jensen?
Jim Jensen used to be the anchor person for local Channel 2 CBS News.
Remember that a long time ago, though, right?
Right. Had a severe cocaine problem, dealt with it, but was perving people. I mean, he was perving women. In fact, I think in one case, memory serves me correct, it was a young lady who was not quite of the age of consent, and he's not alone. You know, in your news broadcasting business, how many pervs there have been.
Yeah, it's some surprising.
And it seems like they may not have been a perv before they get a valued position, let's say as the lead newsreader or the anchor.
Well, you know what they say, you know, power goes to people's heads in different ways, and clearly some of these guys just get, you know, they're not only lionized by their fans, but they're lionized by the executives that are running the company.
And pervs also, they don't have to do anything physical. It could be all verbal.
Oh, like when you walk down the street, not you specifically, but, you know, when ladies walk down the street and the guys are like,
mommy.
But it's the ones that, like, do the little suckling sound.
Yeah, or chase you.
Well, somebody chases me,
I'm going to get in your face. No, they get in your face. Like, you really want it. You really want it, mama. And then all of a sudden, it's 120 degrees in the shade and they're holding their three-piece set, not their knife, spoon, and fork, as if they have the desired emerald jewels.
That's right. That's why you gotta walk around pepper spray, ladies.
That's when ladies just kick them right in their three-piece set.
Or squirt them.
Kick it right where they're gonna feel it for weeks and months
but then you're gonna be assaulting somebody.
Who's gonna arrest somebody for that?
Just saying, you never know in this
Trust
world.
Trust me, in this case, no, but no
you
females
never
gonna
know
get arrested.
In this world.
1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
Curtis Sliwa. Boom! The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa
from
the Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, we fight our country's battles in the air, on land and sea. First to fight for right and freedom, and to keep our honor clean.
7 minutes after the hour two. It's the anthem of the United States Marine Corps. We're high atop Madison Square Garden. The great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com. And I wanted to play that because I knew it would entice you. As one who had grown up in Oxnard, California.
At the CB base.
On the right side of the tracks, as some would say. You didn't grow up with
Well, I didn't grow up there. I went there after I graduated
didn't grow up
college,
with the Mexicans, but many of them illegals there.
Stop it.
But you probably went down to San Diego, Camp Pendleton, and were hanging out there as a groupie of the Marine Corps that is heavy there. I mean, heavy, thick, with a lot of members of the USMC.
There. I didn't do that, but when I went to Langley High School in McLean, Virginia, my friends and I would often go over to the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis to try to, you know, recruit some recruits, so to speak.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, I knew I'd get a rise out of you, but now... We know the president loves the military, no doubt about it. And he constantly talks about our United States military in the highest way, always praising them. And he loves generals. He surrounded himself with generals.
Mm-hmm.
He loved General Flynn the most. Although, you would think that may have changed when he decided to become a cooperating witness. He still seems to have that feeling towards Flynn, who used to come out in the middle of the campaign and warm up the crowd. And nobody warmed him up better. Not Rudy, not Chris Christie, not anyone else.
What about that guy Miller?
No.
That real creepy guy.
No. He wasn't part of that, the campaign. But Flynn could really get the crowd at a fever pitch, and then Trump would come out and seal the deal before 10,000 or more. But Flynn is dealt out of the deck. He's a cooperating witness. Then he brings in USMC General Kelly to run his White House, his West Wing, as his chief of staff, as they decided to send out, rinse out Priebus back to Wisconsin to the Badger State,
right,
who was Paul Ryan's boy. Then we have Mad Dog Mattis, who was appointed to run the Pentagon, and McAllister, who became the National Security Advisor, replacing Flynn. So we know that the president definitely respects generals. And I'm not just talking the TV generals that people used to joke about that he would follow, but rather he has a respect for them.
Yes.
What is he going to do now, though? Because apparently Trump is fuming after his chief of staff, John Kelly, went to the Hill to avoid a government shutdown, which is going to take place.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell acknowledged they just don't have the votes, even from their own party members, to keep the government from shutting down tonight. And you know something? I applaud that. Every day the government is shut down, they're spending less of our money, those gold brick slackers and deadbeats. Send them all home. But anyway, the point being is, it's a fait accompli. But what Chief Kelly did was he went to the Hill, he spoke to the Democrats and some Republicans, and he said, you know that wall thing that the president keeps talking about? It ain't ever going to happen. It's not what you think it's going to be. That's not what he wants. He wants it in partitions. He knows that there's no need for a complete wall.
Well, you don't put a wall in the mountainous regions that people can't climb over, or, you know, sneak over anyway. So that makes sense.
Well, you know, when Khrushchev built the wall in Berlin, he didn't make exceptions to the rule, right? It was a wall. It was the Berlin Wall. Although at times it was cotillion wire, you know, there was razor wire and such.
So Kelly was just trying to suggest that, it's not going to be black and white, you know, the way it's maybe been suggested by the president.
All right, that wasn't necessarily the worst. But then he said a lot of the issues he spoke about in the campaign, don't pay any attention to it. That was a lot of hyperbole. It was a lot of campaign rhetoric. Come on, you got to understand that this president has evolved while in the West Wing in his first year, which I don't think is a bad thing to say because he has evolved.
And remember, there's nothing wrong with that, by the way.
Remember, before, when he was on the campaign trail, healthcare, easy, I got all the answers. He gets into office, he says, hey, healthcare is a complicated issue. Okay, you learn these things once you get into the Western Wing of the White House and you realize what a complicated series of issues you're going to have to grapple with now that you're the shot caller and not the inquisitor or the adversary.
Right, and I think people on both sides of the aisle are patient because of the fact that he wasn't a career politician who'd kind of been around the block on this stuff. He was coming in new, fresh, and you know, not tainted by the politician and lobbyists and all that business.
Now, let's go through a panoply of different things that the president said, both on the campaign trail and once he was elected president and took the inaugural address, made his inaugural address over a year ago.
We will build a great wall along the southern border.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
Anyone who illegally crosses the border will be detained until they are removed out of our country and back to the country from which they came.
They're not sending their best. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some...
We have some bad hombres here, and we're going to get them out.
Now, what do you do when your chief of staff goes to the Hill and makes public comments? He knew they were going to be published. There's no way you keep that stuff hush, hush, mush, mush. You go into the den of the vipers, of the snakes, the Democrats, many of whom can't wait for this president to be impeached, thrown out of office, or die, as Gupta said, you know, of heart disease. You go in there. You purposefully make these statements. You know they'll be recorded. You know they will lead the news as they are today.
Mm-hmm.
The president is clearly upset, as he should be.
Well, but hold on a second. I'm not usually a conspiracy theorist, but part of me is going, was this sort of an agreed upon thing potentially just to see how people would start reacting if all of a sudden it was clear that the promises that he was making on the campaign trail were not quite going to be what the reality was once all these things were executed.
Yeah, but let's face it. It didn't get the desired results. It's going to be a governmental shutdown. It's not like saying those words to the Democrats soothed them.
I'm talking about trying to get a gauge reaction from supporters, from Trump supporters.
Wow, that's
really reaching,
that's
I know,
a real
but...
leap.
You never know.
I mean,
because Trump's response today was not vitriol like you would expect it to be. I mean, he didn't rip Kelly's head off at all. I mean, he basically didn't even mention Kelly.
But he will seethe. You know, he will seethe with these remarks.
Unless this has somehow been a little bit of a test.
So
I don't know.
You actually believe that the president sat down with his chief of staff, Kelly, said, I want you to go to the Hill. I want you to talk to mostly Democrats, some Republicans. And I want you to say that what I said on the campaign trail is not at all true at times, that it's an exaggeration. It's not going to happen.
Well, I don't think Kelly was that black and white and that definitive about that. I think he kind of threw a little bit of that out.
No, he went beyond the wall. I mean, I could see it was simply saying the wall ain't going to get built. The Mexicans ain't going to pay for it, which he said. And if there is a wall, it's not going to be anything of the type that the president has envisioned. He talked about a lot of the other campaign promises as being not real. I mean, this is a direct slap in the face of the guy who's your boss, you're the chief of staff for, does, in your minds, ladies and gentlemen, should the president just suck it up? Or is he going to treat him in a Bannon-like way, like ostracize him? Kelly should be on the outside looking in.
I feel that the fact that he didn't mention Kelly and the president's remarks today in the tweets were somewhat reserved, to me says he's not as mad as everybody thinks he
is. All right, well, let's find out from our listeners. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Neil, who's first up in the queue, calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here on WABC. Neil?
I'm glad the surgery went well, Curtis. Thank God, I said my prayers for you. But trust me, he's not going to get rid of Kelly because he's not going to get rid of the attorney general. That's not going to happen. He's going to keep these people. How about that savage that one night, it was on the news, I think last night, he killed the two cops, said he would kill more. He was deported twice. I mean, we have to build a wall. Seriously.
All right. In fact, let's go to the audio tape because we have that cut. This is a guy, illegal alien, came back and forth across the border as if he had easy pass. And then basically said to all of us, F you, if given an opportunity, I'll do it again and again and again.
The you brigade, that only did the brigade is the skill too. I wish I killed more of those.
Ugh. Animal.
Defiant.
Animal.
Defiant.
That's just a subhuman. And he deserves to be thrown in a cage.
Quite a few folks in our federal system, I think, in fact, 90% of those who are federally incarcerated have some kind of an immigration issue, whether it's because they violated the immigration order or they committed crimes while here, and about 20% in our state, county, and local jails who are illegals. So obviously we know there are plenty of illegals committing crime. All we got to do is talk about MS-13.
Yeah.
And their global influence. Do you realize that MS-13, in addition and not only colonizing certain portions of the United States, Southern California, Virginia,
Long Island,
Nassau,
Glen Cove,
right, is that they now have, they have chapters in, believe it or not, Egypt, Korea.
So it's kind of a little ISIS-inspired type of.
Well, remember, they're workers from El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala. They don't just come here to the United States to work.
Yeah.
A lot of them will go to these other countries to work, and some of them happen to be gangbangers, MS-13 or 18th Street or other knockoffs, and they obviously bring with them that gang tradition. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Tony, who's calling from Hyde Park. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Tony.
Tony.
Yes, hello, Tone. Tone going once. Tone going twice. Tone goes down swinging. Too bad, Tony.
Kelly was also talking about the drug cartels and illegal drugs coming over, and he said, you know, this wall really isn't going to stop that, because he says these drug cartels are made up of very smart men, very good businessmen who are going to figure out ways to get their drugs over so long as there's demand here.
Well, Pablo Shorty Guzman, who we have detained in the Eastern District, downtown Brooklyn, he's laying up in Sunset Park at the federal facility. He's going away forever now that the Mexicans finally decided to extradite him. He, along with Pablo Escobar, the Medellin cartel, when he was alive, and the Cali cartel, they have submarines.
God, that's so crazy.
They have submarines. They bring
so
in submarines.
They're dealing with billions of dollars.
And
of course they have submarines.
Again, I hate to keep saying this, because there is illegal traffic across the border. Not all of it are they carrying contraband, but they're just sneaking in illegally. Most of the illegal aliens who are here in the United States are here because they came to visit the country, they had a visa, and they decided not to go back. So where do you stop them at? Do you stop them at the border? Well, of course. Do they come in from the Canadian border? Some do. Most come in through the Mexican border. But most of all come in by taking airplane flights. And most are now Asian, Chinese. They're not Hispanic any longer. They're Chinese. They come in, they have a visa to visit or to study or to work, and then they just, when the visa runs out, they just fall through the cracks, they disappear.
Or they come over to have their children, like I was reading about a story with Russian women coming over, you know, they're 8 months
pregnant. And Chinese women, yes.
Come over to have their children.
Red Chinese
women. Yeah, it's...
it's a cottage industry.
So you're saying the wall really it wouldn't stem the flow of illegal immigration.
No, I wouldn't say it's going to not do anything, but do you spend $18 billion on a wall?
Well, we're not supposed to be spending it. It's supposed to be apparently the Mexicans in some way, shape, or form.
Does anyone, Justin, can you find a caller out there who believes that the Mexican government, as corrupt as they are, with their pesos, are going to pay for the wall? Now, Trump keeps saying it's going to happen through the negotiations to redo NAFTA.
Right.
That
they make so much money through NAFTA, from the United States, that 20 billion is a drop in the bucket.
And they do. And quite frankly, everybody does well with NAFTA. The Canadians do well with NAFTA. We do well with NAFTA. The Mexicans do well with NAFTA. Everybody's doing well with NAFTA. But the president, he did campaign on that. He wants to redo the agreement. And he claims it's through that agreement that he is going to make Mexico pay for that wall. Question is, do we need to spend $18 billion for that wall? And we keep getting all of these convoluted, conflicting statements from the Trump administration. The president vacillates. And then he sends his emissary to Capitol Hill, says, don't worry about the wall, Kelly says. It ain't going to happen. And maybe it'll be partitioned, but it ain't going to be like he claims it's going to be. Let's go to James in Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here on WABC. Jimmy.
Hey, James.
Here's the thing about the jail thing. You know, I was raised in a house where you were afraid to come home from jail. Forget about going to jail. When you got home, you know, that was when the real punishment started. But these people, they come here, and position A is to obviously not get arrested. But when they go to jail, they get in three hots and a cot. They got a place to live. They got a roof over their head. They have networking because, you know, a lot of them are in jail, so they have resources on the outside when they get out. Jail's a great place for them to be. So here's my proposal. Here's my deal. We legalize marijuana across the country. We throw everybody who's in jail out. We do a clean DACA bill, and we build the wall. But it's got to be all those things.
Well, we would certainly be depriving the narco-terrorists of a lot of the ill-gotten gain if we legalize marijuana, because they make a chunk of change on that, bringing bails in.
Right.
Number two, the DACA folks, 800,000, most of them don't even know the country of origin they're going to be deported to. They're more American sometimes than those who are born and raised here, so that makes sense. Build the wall. I would say, this is what, could I add an addendum to your suggestion, James?
I'd welcome it, absolutely.
Because the DACA folks, the DACA folks have said we're hardworking people, and many of them are.
Yes.
Is we do sweat equity. Our government provides the brick and the mortar and the tools, and the DACAs take little portions of the wall and they build the wall.
Right, public works project, nothing
right.
wrong with
sweat
that.
Sweat equity. They get to stay. It keeps the illegals out. I'm with you on this.
I'm writing this down because I think we need James's phone number. We might have to get you guys together to create some policy.
This is the compromise that wasn't proposed by Durbin or Lindsey Graham the other day. But this is a compromise that makes sense because you're earning your stay. You obviously have both feet in the country. It helps prevent others from illegally coming into the country. And you're taking the money out of the narco-terrorist hands, which is empowering them all the more.
James, you are brilliant. Curtis is
well,
much appreciative.
Let's find out if people agree with that. 1-800-848-WABC, because, you know, with the government shut down now. Oh, I'm so happy. Maybe they could be shut down a month or more. I mean, just keep them shut. 1-800-848-9222.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
77 WABC.
What a great Led Zeppelin classic.
I heard you were talking about this song the other day, and you were saying, what is it about?
It's about the Norsemen, the Vikings from Valhalla. In this case, they heard Donald Trump, and they are prepared to get into the longboats from Norway as they did centuries ago.
Oh, no, they're not.
And row across the Atlantic as they did. If you believe that Eric the Red and Leif Erikson discovered the New World, as many of the squareheads, the Norwegians, believe in Bay Ridge, where some still live. They were great seafarers, and they have a parade each year in honor of Eric the Red and Leif Erikson, who they swear discovered the New World. The Irish claim it was St. Brendan the Navigator, and naturally Italians are very protective by saying it's Christopher Columbus. But so far, since the president made those comments at that meeting last Thursday, like, how come more Norwegians aren't coming?
No takers.
Nobody's knocking down the doors.
No takers at all.
No H-B1 visas, H-2A, H-2B visas. Just come over and work. They're happy. In fact, they claim they're the happiest country in the world with their reindeer.
And their socialist values.
From the cradle to the grave.
Yes.
Tonight I'll be at the Polish embassy and I'll be saying, hey, how come he mentioned the Norwegians and not the Poles who rolled out the red carpet for President Trump when he visited Warsaw? Nobody's treated him better in any of his visits. Because if he went to Norway, if he was actually like, let me go over there and lobby them, I can convince them. They'll have protests there against Trump.
Yeah, it'll be kind of the shades of what will happen in London.
Speaking of protests, if you notice over the weekend when the president went to his winter White House, Mar-a-Lago, play a little golf and meet and do some work, there were a group of Haitians from Little Haiti down in Dade County who were out there protesting against the president, what he had said about Haiti.
Were they the ones that were at the meeting back in 2016?
Interesting. But there were also some pro-Trumpers there who were confronting them. Now, remember, the president has insisted over and over he loves Haitians. He's got nothing in it for the country of Haiti. In fact, let's go back to the campaign trail when he was down in Florida and he was appealing to Haitians along with Cubans and others to give him that edge in Florida that
he got. September 2016.
Right, that he got. In which when he won Florida, everybody's eyes went up and said, he could win this election.
The 2010 Haitian earthquake unleashed a horrible and catastrophic devastation. Over 300,000 dead. Unbelievable. 300,000. Thank you, George. Millions displaced or injured. Homes, businesses, schools reduced to rubble. The truth is Haiti is still suffering very badly. Maybe as badly. The Haitian people deserve better. And that's what I intend to give them. I will give them better.
This was at an event where he also said, he basically launched vitriol against none other, of course, than Hillary Clinton, which, of course, is what he would do on the campaign trail. But, you know, the Haitians were not happy with the Clintons. They were like, where did the money that was raised after the earthquake in 2010? Where did that money go?
Oh, yeah.
You know, let's have some checkbooking going on here.
Let's hope the Department of Justice that now has an investigation of the Clinton Foundation gets to that. Because
yeah. Where's the allocation?
They raised billions. And when I was there in Port-au-Prince, I didn't see any of the benefits of the Clinton Foundation. Now, I didn't get to see all the locations they supposedly helped.
Right.
But I got a pretty sharp eye in running a nonprofit myself. Nothing in comparison, obviously, to the Clinton Foundation. But I didn't get any positive feedback when I was there from Haitians. They were like, where's the Clinton dollars?
And if this money really wasn't allocated to, you know, the places it should have gone and it was given to cronies and whoever and, you know, basically abused by the Haitian government, isn't that just despicable? Because, my God, these people have suffered so much.
Well, I believe this president is picking on the Haitians. And I'll tell you why. Days after they hit the barricades and were protesting outside of Mar-a-Lago, all of a sudden, the Trump administration is banning Haiti from applying for low-skilled work visas. Those are H-2As, H-2Bs. That means to come over and cut the sugar cane in the Everglades.
And to work at Mar-a-Lago.
Work at Mar-a-Lago, or mostly because the demand is in the healthcare industry. A lot of our moms and dads, they retire to Florida. They get diagnosed with dementia, Alzheimer's, other problems. They need a home health care aide.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are Haitians.
Yep.
So the administration has said, "Nyet." Too many of them that are overstaying the terms. No more Haitians coming in as low-skilled work visa entrants.
I mean, kind of a provocative mood, period. But considering the outcry over his alleged S-hole remarks last week, you know, it's classic Trump. Really, this is classic Trump. Making a controversial comment, eliciting public outrage, getting slammed by the media. But rather than slink back and apologize, he doubles down and delights in the hostile reaction.
There were not El Salvadorians outside of Mar-a-Lago protesting or other. There were only Haitians. And you know how the president takes these things personally. Yeah, he probably saw them in the presidential limousine. Riding in, and as he left and said, okay, you're out protesting me, I'll fix you.
So you're saying he is absolutely engaging in policy and executing policy because he is vindictive. I'm so curious to hear.
Doesn't he do that with everything?
Well,
their friends and their foes with Trump.
His supporters do not
look
feel
at Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham, who has questioned what the president said at that meeting, is now saying, but I want to get back to being friends with Trump so I can play golf and, you know, he could be my friend. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go, if we can, to Bobby, who's calling from Queens. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here on WABC. Bobby?
Yeah, you're a little wrong about Trump. He donated planes, money, time, stuff to Haiti when they had their problems down there. He donated a lot of stuff. Nobody talks about it. The other thing, what happened to the money in 2002 that was allocated for the wall from the 2001 fund, like $120 million? What happened to all that money? It's just been sitting there. Why don't they talk about that money?
Well, we just did talk about that money. We talked about the Clinton Organization, the Clinton Foundation, and questions asked to where the money was allocated.
You think it's right that all of a sudden he picks on the Haitians and says, you can't come over?
Say that. Look at the man who said it. Look at the man who said it. What did he do to Obama in 2013?
Whoa, what did he say?
Bobby,
let's talk Florida now. Are you familiar with Florida?
Not really.
Okay, let me explain. We have a sugar cane crop. We all love sugar. We're sugar addicts. Without sugar cane, they'd be like without fentanyl. You know, they'd be ODing. The Haitians come over. They're contracted to cut the sugar cane because Americans.
This is 2020. Don't they have machinery for this stuff?
No.
Are you kidding
me? Bobby, he's not. There's no machines or robots yet that are going to change the bedpans for our moms and dads who have retired to Florida.
There were people doing this before they came here, okay?
Bobby,
people that come here are jumping straight on welfare.
Okay.
They're not going to work.
Oh, really?
Really?
So Haitians
really?
Who come here with a work visa, they're only here. They're only permitted to be here because of the work visa. They have to go back. Do some of them slip through the cracks? Absolutely, as other groups do. But they're not collecting welfare.
With you, I've been in these people's houses. I've been in these people's
houses. You just said you knew nothing about Florida. Now all of a sudden you've been in these people's houses.
Where you're from, Canarsie.
Okay, so let's be specific, Bobby, if we're going to talk New York City. Do you know the majority of the health care aides who end up in our mother and father's homes are Haitian? Do you know that, Bobby?
Yes, my mother.
Why do you let them in your freaking house then if you don't trust them?
They don't go in my house.
Oh, they go in your mom and dad's house.
No, they work in a hospital.
Oh, in a hospital.
But I'm very sure that people have to be checked out. They're not just roaming around doing what they want.
Yeah, they're not to be trusted, but we let them in our mom and dad's house. Does this make any sense, ladies and gentlemen?
I wanted to ask Bobby, because it was obviously something that we said piqued his annoyance.
We got to go to Jack. We got to go to Jack in Long Island. Hey, Jack, welcome here to WABC, Jack.
God, here we go.
Most, you know, most important, I want to say welcome back, Curtis.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Jack.
I really missed you when you were gone. I missed you.
I appreciate it.
Buttering him up for the kill.
Yep.
Anyway, I just want to make a comment about Asia. I have nothing personal against Asian coming to this country. I know this country was built on immigrants, including myself. My point is about the, you know, your friend, I forgot your name. I'm sorry, Miss.
Juliet.
What is your name?
Juliet.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I'm sorry. So I heard you say something about Asian protesting in Mar-a-Lago. I have one simple question. In the summer, in the past summer, in Brooklyn, where my daughter lives, a neighbor of her got murdered by an Asian guy, stabbed to the heart, cold-blooded murder. The next morning, he was trying to flee the country back to Asia, to Haiti. My question is, where were all those Asian people who came to protest about their visas? Did I ever protest about one of them murdering someone for nothing over a parking spot?
It's interesting. They used to say that about Italians and organized crime. Why didn't Italians speak up against those members of organized crime who would extort, shake down money? Why not, Jack?
For visas now.
Why not, Jack?
Because there's no Italians going to Mar-a-Lago to protest.
Oh, okay, so you
right
see, the rule of thumb is if you don't protest against Trump, he lets you come in with a work visa. But God forbid you go to the barricades and protest against Trump, and he sees it. It's retaliation. So now we're not going to have Haitians to cut the sugar cane or to change the bedpans. And who's going to fill that role? I'd like to know out there. Whose sons and daughters and grandchildren?
Can you please ask Max? I'd love to ask Max that question from Port Washington.
Okay. Hey, Max, welcome to WABC, Max.
Curtis, I just wanted to say, you think you're an authority on everything. You're an idiot. I managed these people for 26 years. 26 years. All of them came here. They were all on welfare, public assistance. They were all getting paid under the table.
Oh.
And they were... Put this
all
in,
of them?
The Mexican guys, yes, they were
Max, wait
babies.
A second. All of them? So you're blanketly indicting all Haitians as coming here to collect. You go to Southeast Queens and look at all the homeowners. You see it, Southeast Queens, all the homeowners who are Haitian, you schmuck. You think they did that with welfare?
The Haitians and the Mexicans that I managed for 26 years.
Yeah, they're all on welfare.
Public assistance.
Yeah, all on welfare.
So
I see
things.
The lines in
Curtis,
that. They're speaking patois, right?
He has a question for you, Curtis.
How come Americans can't have 5, 6, and 7 kids? And Mexicans
oh, they do.
Can. Who's supporting these
oh, they do.
Wait, wait. What country are you living in?
Kentucky, West Virginia.
God.
Whites collect more well, welfare than anybody else in this country. Do you know that, Max?
How do you equate Americans with illegal aliens? Okay, well, I'll support Americans. I don't mind paying.
Oh, okay, so the three-eyed cousin fornicators from Kentucky and West Virginia who are procreating, who are popping oxys,
they're
who are getting
Americans.
Snaps, who
they're
are getting
Americans.
Welfare.
Cutting.
Other Americans,
God,
okay.
So they're much better than
Let's
the,
take care of the hillbillies.
But first of all, Max, hold on, Max. Why are you? No, why do you have to call him an idiot? Why can't you just have a conversation?
Because
why do you have to accuse him?
Because you know why? Okay, can I tell you why?
Take it back.
Okay. I'm sorry, Curtis. I'm sorry I said that.
Thank you.
But you know what? Everything about for you is shtick. It's all entertainment.
You just said all Haitians and Mexicans who come here collect welfare, right? Did you not say that, Max?
What did I say?
You said all Haitians and Mexicans who come
not
here collect 100%
welfare. 100% of anything, but I would say most 90% of Mexicans collect.
Are they hardworking
welfare.
People?
Wait, the Mexicans. Now he's going on to the Mexicans.
Are they hardworking people, the Mexicans and the Haitians?
Yeah, well, yeah. I agree.
Will they take
are,
jobs
yes.
that nobody else agree. Will take?
Yes.
Okay, so why would they be working so hard if they can freaking collect welfare and collect food stamps?
Can I tell you why? Because they're collecting welfare, and the welfare's paying their rent, and they collect the cash under the table, and they send it home to their country.
Hey, what about the Russians? What about the Russians who came here? What about the Orthodox Jews, huh? Hey, Max, how about the Orthodox Jews? What about the Russians? Are they white?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know. You don't want to know. Gonna tell me about welfare,
oh my God.
SNAP,
you're gonna
social
pop
assistance.
Your stitches, Curtis. My God, take it easy for a
what
second.
What prejudice?
I don't like the way
Haitians
the fact that he calls
and
you
Mexicans
names.
Bust
I don't like it.
Their ass working jobs that most of us would never entertain working.
And by the way, Max, Curtis spends most of his life, literally most of his life, on the streets, talking to the people, seeing things
close up. When I visit a welfare center, I hear them all talking Patois and Creole. Yeah, they're all Haitians. They're all talking, hey, I was there in Haiti with Papa Doc, little baby Doc.
When you guys call, just be respectful. We'll be respectful to you.
No, they don't have to be respectful.
I like respect.
They're racist and they need to check at the door. Because all groups have people who cheat. And collect welfare when they shouldn't, and SNAPs when they shouldn't.
Amen, brother.
Orthodox Jews, Russians who have come here claiming to be Jews. You know, they had escaped for religious freedom. I know more about Talmud and Torah than the Russian Jews who supposedly came here because they wanted a daven.
There are bad seeds everywhere.
Ufa.